Welcome to Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio, living to make Jesus visible in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. We invite you to join us any Sunday for traditional worship at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., or contemporary worship at 11 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30. Everyone is welcome. There are also lots of opportunities to learn more about Jesus Christ and find ways to serve our community. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. Parking is free.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.
The Reverend Dr. Bob Fuller.
Our scripture lesson comes to us today from a very familiar passage from the Apostle Paul. It's a passage from his letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth, 1 Corinthians. It comes from chapter 13, and it begins in the first verse. Now, again, these are very familiar words, but I want us to hear them today and look at them today through the lens of motherhood, of parenthood, of any role of leadership or influence that we might have over people who are younger than us. So if you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let us pray. O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amidst the changing words of our generation, speak to us your eternal word that does not change. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For it is in the name of your Son, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen. A couple of years ago, over Mother's Day, Morgan and I were up in our college for a reunion. And it was one of those great weekends. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a college reunion, but you get to go up there and you get to sort of play like you're a college kid for a week. It's sort of college student fantasy camp. You get to go. But this time when you go, you don't have the stress of exams. You don't have all the social pressures that you used to have. You don't have to worry about homework assignments or any of that kind of thing. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful weekend to celebrate with friends and just to share old memories and all that kind of thing. Well, all weekend, it felt like we were back in college, but early Saturday evening, we were invited to an alumni reception at my old fraternity house. Now, it was very nice, and it was so nice to see these young men all dressed in their blue blazers and khaki pants. They were all on their best behavior and using the manners that their parents had taught them. But then, as it started to get later, as the sun started to go down and it got a little darker, the party began to change a little bit. It began to morph from a nice fraternity alumni reception into a college frat party. And the music got louder, and the outfits got a little more risque, and the behavior became more bawdy, and the language became more coarse. And I found myself wanting to say some of the things that I had heard my parents say many, many times before. I wanted to go up to some of the young men and say to some of the young women, does your father know that you're wearing that? And hey, you, young man, watch your language and put away that cigarette and quit drinking that. And do you kiss your mama with that mouth? I mean, all of these things just started to well up in my heart. And luckily I was able to trap them at my lips rather than actually say anything. But one thing that became clear is that I am old and it was time for me to go. And as I left, I mentioned some of these things to Morgan, who was having similar feelings. And she said, well, I guess we know how our parents felt then as well. And that was a little sobering for me at that time as well. Well, one of the things that I've learned is that as my own children get older, they are also getting bigger, they're getting stronger, they're getting smarter, they're getting more beautiful and handsome, more talented, but they've also gotten sassier. They've gotten sneakier. They have their own ideas and opinions, and every day they are exposed to new people with different values, and those values don't necessarily accord with our values. In summary, the older my children get, I'm finding the harder they are to control. And here's the one thing I've learned. As a parent, I do not have enough power to control my children. Even though they are good kids, I can't control them. I can control what they watch on TV at home, but I can't control what they see in the world and what they think. I can try to make them eat healthy foods, but have you ever tried to force a kid to eat something that they don't want to eat? I mean, I can punish for misbehavior, but I can't make them obedient. I can sure make them fear me, but I can't make them respect me. I mean, sure, right now, I'm bigger than they are, but one day they'll be bigger than me. Right now, I have all the money, but one day they're going to have enough and we'll be able to do it on their own. You know, as a father, as a mother, you have great power over your kids. Legal, financial, psychological, spiritual, emotional, even physical. And a lot of parents try to use that power to control their children. But from what I can tell, that doesn't last forever. Matter of fact, it doesn't work for long. You know, maybe I can control my kids for a little while to some degree, but I can't control them forever. I can't control my kids. There's my admission. So what can I do? Well, here's what I'm figuring out. I can't control my kids, but I can control what kind of parent I am. And even though I can't control my kids, I can influence them. Motherhood, fatherhood is not about how much power God gives us, but how we use the power that He gives us. So how am I going to use the power and the authority I do have over my children? Basically, I have a choice to make. Am I going to try and use it to control them, or am I going to try and use it to influence them? Control them for a moment, or influence and shape the character of my children for a lifetime. You know, God gives us all some type of power. As leaders, as teachers, as employers, as military officers and commanders, even as fathers and as mothers. And 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter about how we use the power God has given us. And what it tells us is that the difference between control and influence is love. That's the key factor. First of all, the Apostle Paul is warning us, do not use the power that God has given you without love. He says, power without love gains nothing. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I have prophetic powers, mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have enough faith to move mountains and even sacrifice my body to be burned, but have not love, I have nothing, I gain nothing, I am nothing. The lack of love can nullify all of that. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Aside from the brain, I think that the most powerful organ in the human body is the tongue. James, the younger brother of Jesus, warned us about the power of the tongue. He says, even though it is small, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Without love, our words are like a clanging cymbal. It doesn't matter how right you are. Paul and James are saying that without love, our words can be useless, painful noise. With the tongue, with your words, you can build somebody up or you can blow somebody up. You can make her feel great or make her feel terrible. You can teach them or manipulate them. You can lead them to the truth or blackmail them. Your tongue can spout heretical things, hypocrisies, and lies. It can even give the order to kill or to torture or to imprison or enslave. The tongue is powerful. And yet people will say whatever critical, peevish, selfish, or snarky thing comes into their minds. It's amazing that so many people seem to have no filter between their head and their mouths. An unstable tongue is as dangerous as an unstable bomb. And here's a freebie. Not all criticism is constructive criticism. We like to label all the criticism we give under that moniker, but that's not true. Sometimes what we call constructive criticism is just arrogance in disguise. But love checks all of that power and refocuses it. Love redirects the tongue. And Paul says that love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Think about this. If I, as a parent, say something, my words weigh 1,000 pounds. And they can crush my kids without me even realizing it. But love can redirect my tongue to build up rather than tear down, to teach rather than condemn. Love stabilizes and redirects our power so that we will use it to love, to build up rather than to hurt, to bless rather than condemn. You know, there's an old saying among actors, people don't remember your words nearly as much as they remember how you made them feel. Think about your influence. Think about the words you say and how you say them. The next thing Paul teaches us is this. One day, our control will end. But if our power is tempered by love, then our influence never ends. He wrote it like this. He said, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will come to see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. One day, Paul says, we are all going to meet God face to face. And on that day, your power, such as it is, will pass away. Paul says that everything we have, all of our achievements, all of our trophies, all of our riches, all of our status symbols, all of our titles, and all of our wealth will burn away before his shining face like fog on a summer morning. Everything that is but love. Your influence lasts. Love, he says, has no expiration date. It will last for eternity and can continue to influence those we love even when our strength has left us and everything else is gone. All of our power will fade over time until there is nothing left but love and the influence it produces. Power will pass away, but influence lasts. When you have gone to meet God face to face, your children, your family, and the people who knew you are going to come and they're going to sit down with me and they're going to tell me about you. So what are they going to tell me about you? What kind of influence will you have after you're gone? You know, will they tell me that you were a tyrant? Or will they tell me that you were a protector? Because I guarantee you, if you're a tyrant, that's what they will remember, not the protector. But if you are more encourager than tyrant, more courageous than mean, more honest than lazy, more loving than self-centered, then that's what they're going to remember. When everything else you have is gone, what will they have learned from you? Mothers, fathers, friends, adults, God has given us a lot of power over our children. How are you influencing them to be men and women of God? Are you a noisy gong or clanging cymbal? Or are you patient? Are you kind? Do you insist on your own way? Do you insist on your rights as a parent over your responsibilities as a parent? Do you keep a record of wrongs, reminding them of all the times they've messed things up and made life hard for you? Are you patient? Do you remember that sometimes when we give them commands and directions, this is the first time they've heard it? They haven't worked through these things. They don't have our maturity. They don't know how these things work. Or do you demand that they do what you say to do and be what you demand that they be the first time? I'm not talking about obedience. I'm talking about influence. You rejoice in the truth. What are they going to learn about God from watching you? Are they going to learn to take God casually or seriously by watching you? Finally, are they going to learn about forgiveness? Or are they going to learn about judgment from you? Are they going to learn about grace or condemnation for you? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Are they going to learn that God is the God who sticks with us even when we fail? Or are they going to learn from us that God is the God who throws in the towel or the one who goes to the cross? The story of Jesus reminds us that when our Heavenly Father had to decide how long He would bear with us, He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't disown us or cut us off. He went to the cross. And when it got absolutely terrible, when everything was at its worst, He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." How long are we willing to be patient with our children, understanding that sometimes they just do not know what they do? You know, at that same fraternity house, as we were taking a tour of the upstairs living quarters, in one of the bedrooms, amid the beer posters and the posters of country music stars and rock bands and swimsuit models, there was a picture of Jesus. Just this little 8 by 8.5 by 11 poster right above the light switch. And the poster was a picture of Jesus standing with a young man in a business suit. And the young man's head was bowed, and the figure of Jesus just had his hand placed gently on his shoulder. No words, no captions, just the picture. You know what? That little picture and the reminder of that little poster gives me hope that even though the young man who lives in that room has a lot of growing up to do, the young man who occupies that room has a mother and a father whose influence will one day make a difference. I hope that they never give up on him, just as that poster reminds us that our Lord and Savior will never give up on us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you on Mother's Day, as we come before you as parents, as teachers, as influencers, as coaches, as guides, whatever role we play, we ask that you would temper us, temper our words, temper our wisdom with love. It is an easier and a cheap way to parent to simply try to control. that, as we know, control doesn't last while influence does. So help us to be people of integrity. Help us to be people of compassion. Help us to be people of patience. And help us, O Lord, to be men and women of character, that we may inspire and influence young people to be men and women of character themselves. Lord, help us to raise our children to be your disciples, and help us to follow your example of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Sunday morning at First Presbyterian Church, San Antonio, where we are living to make Jesus visible. We're located at 404 North Alamo in downtown San Antonio. If you would like to speak to a pastor for any reason, please call us at area code 210-226-0215.
For more information, visit us online at fpcsanantonio.org.